The system in Ghana is not giving way for the average youth to think. Ghana's recruitment is like a cartel. They already have someone they want to pick. They are just using this interview as a formality to know that they are doing something.
You know how to brand products. Yes. You know how to sell products. And you identified a supplier. Then you look for
people to buy. That's what I can do.
Has your life, financial life, actually improved?
From June to December, I sold goods worth of 1.5 million Ghana cedis. I only pay myself 1,500 a month.
Why are a lot of young people stuck in and looking for a job mentality?
Money is in Ghana, but it's in debt. And the youth today does not want to do the dirty job. Go to Abuso Okai, go to Kofrida Market, go to Makola. You actually see market women who can buy goods worth of 100,000 and pay with fiscal cash.
Young people finishing university, looking for jobs and not getting jobs. How does it actually make a lot of the young people feel?
This thing gets me too emotional. I actually got to a stage I was really depressed. So I actually applied for companies for them to employ me. So many companies.
Out of your peers, those that came out of university around the same time as you did, how many of them have actually gotten jobs? You're welcome to Connected Minds Podcast. My name is Derek Abaite, and thank you for being a listener and a viewer of our videos and supporting this beautiful family that we have. So did you know that on your phone, you can search on Apple Podcast, you can also search on Spotify and any other application you use for music, Connected Minds, and listen to our podcast when you're driving, when you're going to work, or when you're at a gym. Even when you're cooking and you're busy, you can still listen to Connected Minds Podcast. My guest today is Kingsley Simpe. Now, Kingsley is a young businessman who is solving a problem in Koforidua and many parts of Eastern Region. I call him the youngest distributor in Eastern Region. A young man who is going to teach a lot of young people today how to start a small distributorship and also a wholesale business in Ghana. He's done it himself. A very young chap. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation, especially if you are thinking of how to take products to people who need it and you don't know how to do it locally. He's your man. So sit through of how he was able to go from searching for jobs and not getting jobs and deciding that he is going to chart his own path and create a business out of it. And now he employs people. But welcome to my studios, my brother.
Thank you, Derek. How are you? I'm fine.
Awesome. I'm happy to have you here because you've come all the way from
Koforidua.
Koforidua. Yeah. My memories of Koforidua growing up as a young boy was it's where the regional hospital is.
Yeah.
So hospital. Whenever we have problems in Akimoda, they send us to, they call it Kasim. So we go to
Fanuko Kasim.
That's right. That's right. We go to Koforidua. Thanks for having you. The reason you are here today is because of a post you did.
Okay.
You made a post on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes.
Where you described the business you're doing as a young person, how yes. you're making money, the struggle of looking for jobs and not getting a job. And it clicked with you one day that you want to start your own business.
Yes.
And you've done it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So congratulations to you. That's a great thing to do. Anyway, so let's start off. Talk me through your background. Before you teach us how to make money, talk me through your background. So, mom, dad, siblings, you know, your upbringing. Talk to me. How was home like growing
up? Okay, home. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be on this podcast. I'm really grateful. I'm the person of Kingsley Opoku Simpe. I'm a young entrepreneur in Koforidua. I'm actually from Kweu, Eastern Region Obo.
Okay.
During my upbringing, I stayed with my grandmom, Lydia Mayal, my auntie, Obahima Sewa Brakatu. She's actually a queen in New Jersey.
Okay.
And my mom, Jacqueline Bimpong. I have one elderly brother, Richard Amiel Bimpong. So starting life was like just to feel like home. Everyone was around. We used to play. We used to eat together, sleep together. And it was very nice.
Yeah. So you are probably one of the people a lot of Ghanaians might refer to as DB.
Oh, not really. Okay. Not really.
Okay.
Because a DB, how will you describe a DB? A DB is someone who enjoys...
Home was good,
no,
right?
Home was naturally good because I had my grandmother and my auntie taking care of me with most of my essential needs.
Okay.
My mom isn't that financially good. So she normally gets help from her elderly sister and my grandmother.
Right.
So I wouldn't describe that as a DB.
So what job did your mom do?
My mom she just have a store. She's just as a shopkeeper.
Right.
Or in a business, we say a retailer.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And retailer. Where was your dad in the picture?
My dad's story, I actually have no idea about where he was.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no idea.
So you didn't grow up with your father?
No.
You grew up with just your mom?
I actually don't have memories of my father.
Okay.
I can't remember.
You can't remember.
No. It's my mom, my auntie, and my grandma.
So between mom and dad, is it just you?
Yes.
Between your mom and dad, it's just
yes,
you?
Yes, me. Yes,
okay,
me.
Okay, but how many other siblings do you have?
I have one.
Okay. Yeah. Older, younger?
No, older.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, from home, dad wasn't around. Aunties and grandma was taking care of you.
Yes, please.
Mom was doing... she was a shopkeeper, essentially. So these were the people that used to pay your school fees.
Yes. You see, my grandma and my auntie was actually paying the fees, whilst my mom was paying some small money, like my breakfast, lunch, giving me pocket money on that stuff. And at times she buy books for me. But the main money, or let's say the money for tuition, was actually coming from my auntie.
She did a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
I'm trying to figure out, which I think I will by the end of this conversation, how you became so driven. What aspect of home has always driven you to try to do things by yourself?
You see, I actually grew up in a family where people just try to work their own things out. It's not like you are going to be provided with the essential help you need, but also needs to pull your own weight.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to a time when I was searching for jobs. I made some one or two calls to my aunties and other stuff that if they could help me secure a job. But today there's another story. We'll get back to you. So I just said no. I actually need to work my own things because the man that was named after me, the Mr. Simpe, he was a big man in Kwao. He had his own business. And every Simpe I know in Ghana here, they didn't work for someone.
Okay. Before we get to that story, I want you to take me back again.
Okay.
Right? To the point where aunties and grandma were taking care of you. And you finished GHS.
Yes,
right. And then you carried on to university.
Yes, please.
Okay, now talk me through your university life.
My university life was not easy. You know, it got to a time the fees was to be paid by my auntie, which she did, but the hostel was an issue.
Okay.
So they actually find new way to get me to the hostel, but it was not successful. So my auntie actually had a friend in Ashalibotre near the St. Peter's School, okay. Auntie Stella. So I had to go and sleep in Auntie Stella's hall for 3 years to complete my university. So in the time of accommodation, it was not easy because you are actually sharing accommodation with three people.
Yep.
Yes, it was not that easy. So, but an aspect of the fee side and everything, it was good.
So Kingsley has now finished university. When you were at university, actually, what were your plans in terms of job plans?
When I was in university, I was lucky to do business administration.
Okay.
Because I actually got the inspiration for my family business. My grandmother's sister, who is there, she died in 2016, was a distributor for a big company in Ghana here. No, for three companies in Ghana here. Most of them were manufacturing fast-moving consumer goods, FMGs. So anytime I go on vacation, I just try to go there just to learn something. So I was actually part of the sales team. Okay. And our terrain was Konongo, New Abrim, Enyinim, Kwaobe Poso. That's where we go for sales. So it's actually opened my eye to this distribution business at age 16.
Right.
So at age 16, I was actually in the car with the company's driver, moving up and down, delivering goods to customers, taking money, taking checks. So that was what happened during that time.
And so before you finished university, what were your plans? What did you want to do after university?
After university, I wanted to be a brand manager for any FM, fast moving consumer goods in Ghana.
Okay.
Because I got that skill when we were distributors of those brands.
Okay.
And then, Derek, I actually understand what brand management means. I can sit here with you and give you a strategy for a brand. Me, actually, my specialization is with foods, either being foods, drinks, alcoholic, no alcoholic. That's where my specialization is. So actually, I can sit here. You can bring any brand. Within, let's say, a day, I can give you the needed steps the company used to. Can use to make sure their brand aim high. You know, I actually learned this in marketing. You know, we have the Boston, the BCG metrics. BCG metrics, it explains how brands are being categorized through dogs, through stars, through cash cows and problem child. So I can easily change a problem child for it to become a star.
Okay.
So that's that's what I can do. So I actually applied for companies for them to employ me.
Hmm.
So many companies. So
how many companies did you apply to?
If I could remember, be 10 to 15 fast moving consumer goods companies in Ghana.
Okay.
And some I even go for interviews. Some they don't call me. So anytime I go for interviews, any question they pose to me, I answer. But they can answer my question.
Right.
They can answer my question. So you'll be there and they'll send you a mail that you are not selected. So I actually got to a stage I was really depressed because I feel I can work. But it seems no company in Ghana is willing to give me that chance. If I could remember, 2023, I went for an assistant brand manager, managerial position in a very big company in Ghana. I got interviewed by a Nigerian, the hiring manager, the marketing manager. I actually did good and they emailed me that I have qualified for the second stage.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the hiring manager resigned. So the process was disrupted and the back and forth was. So I think 5 months down the line, they got a new marketing manager. And instead of them to call me back, they reposted the job back, looking for a new applicant. So I have some feeling I can still work for them. So I just applied and they didn't call me. I kept on applying. So one day I had an interview with a sales manager from another company and I answered all their questions. I asked the manager two simple questions about a brand they brought, which was new. The manager told me he can't answer. He only answer when I'm part of them. And I said, no, I need to start doing something for myself because it's either how I think is different from how they are thinking.
Okay.
So I just needed to start something for myself. So
this thing about young people finishing university, looking for jobs and not getting jobs, how does it actually make a lot of the young people feel when they are in deep search for what they see as their financial breakthrough?
You see, the system in Ghana is not giving way for the average youth to think.
Okay.
Anytime the average youth finish university, he will be placed in national service. And that national service, he will go and pay bribe for them to pick him to a company which like he likes with the aim of thinking like one day they will pick him as a worker. So our system here actually isn't giving way for us to think. Everyone wants a white-collar job.
Mm.
But Derek, I can tell you, white-collar jobs don't pay in Ghana here.
Okay.
Money is in Ghana, but it's in debt. Go to Abuso Okan. Go to Kufurida Market. Go to Makola. You actually see market women who can buy goods worth of 100,000 and pay with fiscal cash.
Wow.
They have no background education. But our young youth want a job that will, like, something like an official wear. They will sit in an office with an air condition. And the reason why they're actually not being picked is, you know, Ghana, the unemployment rate is high than the jobs available. Too many graduates are home waiting for government or institutions to work with. And only the strong will survive.
Mm.
That's why I see Ghana. Ghana's recruitment is like a cartel.
I see.
Yes, me. That's how I see. Because during my interviews, I have been with companies. I see, it's either they already have someone they want to pick.
Right.
So they are just using this interview as a formality to know that they are doing something. But what I realize is they already have someone. And mostly jobs that are posted in Ghana, 90% are for internal recruitment. The only time they go outside is when they want a top manager position.
Okay.
Like a marketing manager, like a legal, something like a director. That's where they go outside. But there's administrative assistant, branch manager, sales manager. They fish it inside. Yes.
That's how you felt.
That's why I felt, because how can you reject me for a position that was lower for my qualification? They actually rejected me for that position. So let's say if I went for a sales manager and I got rejected. And I actually went for a sales executive and I got rejected too.
Okay.
Yes. So if you understand what I'm saying.
And were they not asking for experience?
No, they're actually asking for experience, which I had.
Okay.
Yes, which I had. But I didn't like the idea of rejecting me for a managerial position. Fine, you can reject me for that managerial position. But a sales executive, or let's say a sales rep, you also reject me for that sales rep.
Kingsley, out of your peers, those that came out of university around the same time as you did, how many of them have actually gotten jobs?
I actually know four of them. One is working at Tatalo Oil. That friend of mine, his father had connections.
Right.
So it was easy for him to get a job. Another one or two people in the military, some in the customs.
So you are making this statement as evidence that you believe it's a cartel when for people to get picked into a job. There's an actual cartel.
Yes. The reason why I'm saying this is I normally visit company's portal to look for jobs. And I actually saw one company. It's actually a recruitment company.
Okay.
Having the same job descriptions. Have the same job descriptions on them. So let's say they do post on LinkedIn that a social company is looking for, let's say, a sales rep.
Mm.
And it's the same line by line with the company's portal.
Okay.
So I actually don't know if the recruitment company is the one doing the recruitment for the company or the company itself is doing their own recruitment.
Okay.
I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. So the reason why I'm saying is that it's like most of the HRs in Ghana are friends with those recruitment agencies. So you just say, oh, this job is available. Can you please help me get someone? And I think that's how it's done in Ghana.
You think the system is not fair to the youth that are looking for jobs?
The system is not fair. No. To me, okay, I can talk for people, but for myself, I'll say the system is not fair.
And how many years were you looking for jobs before you decided to start your business?
From 2021 to 2023, almost 3 years.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Yeah. And then you said at a point when you had just left the job, the thought came,
Yes.
That you should start your own.
I should start my own.
What was the first thing you wanted to start?
I was actually working with a man.
Okay.
And I was actually eager to get working experience. So I accepted any pay. He told me he would pay me thousands. So no problem. So I was introduced to a brand that the man had no idea of.
Okay.
He had no idea how it's being sold. So I built the brand from scratch, moving from market to market, trying to convince them to buy that thing. And in Ghana, or in Ghana, what I've realized with the marketing business is it's difficult for a supplier. It's difficult for a customer to change his supplier. So, yes, to change his supplier. Because you actually don't know the kind of relationship he has with the supplier.
Okay.
So me penetrating to get them to buy the brand was very difficult.
Mm.
I remember one customer called Abawa. I went to the woman and she told me, I have someone who brings me that product, so I won't buy. I said, oh, just buy for me. So I was just pleading with her. Every day I'll be at her shop. Every day I'll be at her. So at times, she really talked harsh. So she talked me in a harsh manner, but no. I said, this woman will help me achieve my target. So the fourth time, she told me I was wearing her. So I should bring her 5 packs.
Okay.
So I brought her 5 packs. And she told me, go here. Tell them Abawa said you should come.
Wow.
So the second day, I contacted 10 people. And that was the breakthrough. So I was actually making money for the business. But when the games get to the time for me to get paid, then it actually turns to another story. So that's how it started. So during that time, I actually didn't know what happened between my boss and the company. I think it was liquidity issues. The cash was not coming. So they just had to cut the supply for the goods. So I was home for 2 months. So one day I was talking to a friend. His name is Ebenezer. He also has a business in Koforidua. And I said, Eben, this is the case. Eben asked me, do I get panic anytime I talk about this? I said, yeah, go for it. We were standing at the roadside. He said, Kingsley, go for it. So I called the man and told the man, this is what the customers are. And the man said, oh, it's good. But don't lose them. So you can be taken from their company actually had their branch in Accra. So they normally come to Koforidua on Mondays for sale. So I contacted the manager, told him this is the case. But now I want to handle the distribution with the consent of my boss. He has given me the go-ahead to handle it. So that time I was not going to get the full profit the company was giving to my boss, but they were going to divide it into two. So I said, no problem. If only the goods to be delivered to me, I will supply. But my problem is I don't have any money to buy the goods. But I can promise you, if you can give me a week, I will sell and bring you the money.
Wow.
So I moved from one customer to another, and I told them, this is the case now. Now I can't be bringing it to you on credit again. Unless you pay for it. And so we have no problem because we need it. So Saturday, I'll call all of them and they'll place their order. Maybe 100 packs, then they'll bring it. Some will pay upright. So the one that they do pay upright, I just give it back to the company and I take my profit. And that time I was earning 40 CDs per pack those times. So I actually did that. Did that. Out of integrity, I was truthful to the company. So it got to a time, they increased it to 2 weeks. And the orders were coming. So it got to a time, I had a little money for me to also make purchase. So I started making purchase of 100 packs a day. So maybe if they actually bring me 100 packs, I'll actually not get money to pay, or so I'll pay half and tell them in 2 weeks' time. And up to now, I'm still doing that same thing in the company now. I also had a customer. This thing gets me too emotional. His name is Mr. Patrick Osafo Frimpong. And I told him, this is the case. He said, no, if you want to start something for yourself, I have a warehouse. Bring your goods in. So it got to a time and a new brand came. It was this fabric softener, which we call Afterwash. And this man had already worked with that company that supplied the Afterwash.
Okay.
So I told him, Mr. Frimpong, I also want to venture into that business. Can you help me? And so though he can. So we called those time the sales manager and he picked and so this that we need to do this. And Mr. Frimpong said, I'm only doing this for a son. He has no money. So how do we do it? We said, oh, because of Mr. Frimpong, he has worked with the company before, so they will give it to him on credit.
Wow.
So the goods came. Because I already built that that network of customers in Koforidua, they were also demanding for that brand. The first goods that came was 100 packs, and that day it got finished. 100 packs of that fabric softener, and it got finished. And we were still doing 100, 200. So it got to a time we actually needed to pump in cash for them to bring a lot. Because it's their policy that if their car moves from Accra to Koforidua, unless you pick 800 packs. And I say 800 packs, we don't have. But the man stood in. The man is my God on this earth, Derek. He stood in. I actually don't know the conversation that happened between him and the company. But what I know, he didn't pay. Because of the man's integrity, they brought it. So the demands were high. So I had to bring in a sales girl. That was my first employee. I brought in a sales girl. The dream was to distribute in Eastern Region. But due to how operations were bit by bit, we started in Koforidua. And later, in just this September, I brought in a Muslim guy, Muhammad Tahiro. He's an imam. I brought him. He had worked with Mr. Frimpong before. So he knew customers in Akutia, he knew customers in Koko, he knew customers in Oda, he knew customers in Abrim. So the first day he came, I just went with him in sales engineering. So I was in the car and I just sat down. I said, this guy can really help me. We sold with 250 buses, we sold all. So that was how TradeView Enterprise came into action.
What a story. You know, there are some things I don't play with, which is the power of recommendation. When a man's integrity leads him, he gets recommended by the people he has been truthful with. And I think that's what this your godfather.
Yes, Mr. Frimpong.
He's
actually a god on earth for me because Ghana, it's not easy for you to find someone to lead you. So when he was actually helping me, I actually watched a video on LinkedIn and it was actually a Nigerian. He said, poverty's best friend is information asymmetry. And she explained information asymmetry as two people going for a race. One has the idea that if I take in glucose or I take in some steroids, I'll run faster. The other one has no idea. So you see, at the end of the race, the one who has that information beats the one who had no idea. So I just linked it to what happened between me and that man.
Yeah.
The man had that information and just led me in. Out of integrity, they were willing to bring goods to him. And he's actually the EC of NAC Ventures Koforidua. He actually has contract with CBH, the manufacturer of Safari Mini Jumbo, Safari Toilet Rolls, and stuff.
So, from what you have described, a young boy who was searching for a job for almost 3 years.
Yes.
Didn't get one and got an awakening that, okay, there are some skills I learned from the market.
Yes, in school.
From grammar as well. Yes, and then also from school.
From school.
And if I don't get this job, I'm going to create my own
job.
And then you get somebody to work with, you find a product. Did you actually start with any money? Let me stop you here for a minute. So if it's your first time watching Connected Minds, or you have been here before but still have not subscribed, do us a favor, because majority of the people that watch our videos have not subscribed. This doesn't help us grow beyond what we expect. So help us by hitting the subscribe button. Thank you. Now let's get back to the conversation.
No, as I said earlier, I went to the company that this is the issue, because they already had a contract with my boss. My boss told me that if anything, I should contact them. They may be willing to help. So I didn't start with any money. But what I was doing is, I actually take in bits.
Okay.
Let's say 5 packs, 10 packs from them, from their sales team, and distribute it to my customers in Kofi Radio. So after a week, I momo their money to them. And that time, I was earning 40 CDs
on per pack.
So if you sell 10, that's 400 CDs for the day.
So when you started, how many packs were you selling?
At first, I was selling, let's say 10, because I actually didn't want to get a bad reputation with the company. So I actually taking bits. I actually didn't want to take bigger stocks from them. So one day, a customer in Tafo, Margaret Vance, told me she needs 50 of that product.
Yeah.
So I had to do some magic for them to, I had to convince them that this is a cool job deal. If they could supply me with 100, I'll pay them in 3 days time. Meanwhile, there was no money.
Wow.
But
you went with Vim?
Yes, I went with Vim. And they actually brought it. So when they brought it, it was actually a first day with that woman. So I was afraid she wouldn't pay that day. But that day, the woman paid with cash. That very day, she paid the 50 packs.
Kingsley, why a lot of young people stuck in and looking for a job mentality?
You see, as I said earlier, the system in Ghana is not giving way for the youth to think. And also, in Ghana, jobs or let's say opportunity that will give you money are in debt.
So you think most young people don't want to do the dirty work?
They don't want to do the dirty work, because I actually don't remember the last time I've been put on an official way. It's actually me and my Crocs, my handbag, and my phone. I actually have customers' data into my phone, so I just move from shop to shop. I even go to the extent of even helping them to sell.
I see.
Yes, this woman, this Abawa woman, anytime, like, and I'm just passing in front of her shop, I even go there to help her sell. So in Ghana, if you want to make money, you need to put your ego somewhere that I hold a degree, I have a master's, I have a PhD. That won't give you money. Even though in code some people see to be money-making machine, if you get that degree. But I actually don't believe that, because if a market woman takes a good worth of 15,000 and pay with cash that same day, I actually don't buy the idea. Money is in Ghana, but it's in debt. Even gold, see how gold is being mined. Before you get to gold, you see the debt. It's actually a whole story before you get gold. But we think that we need to get, okay, to be successful in Ghana, you need to get a white collar job. But I actually don't think that. Because the first time I went to Abusokai, they showed me one of the richest guys in Abusokai. If you see his outfit, oh, you won't even give him a seat in your house. But the guy is fucking rich. So money is in Ghana, it's in debt. And the youth today does not want to do the dirty job. They don't do the dirty job.
I want you to teach the youth how they can also set themselves up as you have. Take me through the process.
The way they can set themselves up is, in Ghana, if you want, okay, no, not actually in Ghana, in the world, if you want to make money, you need to solve a problem.
Okay.
Elon Musk is solving a problem with his internet connections to other countries. Mark Zuckerberg is solving a problem because he is able to foster communication with two people from different countries, and that's giving money. Solve a problem. What me as an individual city, I'm solving a problem. I actually sell essential needs, essential goods to people. Toilet roll, washing powders, bathing soap, softness. So if you want to make money, just identify a problem. A problem in your locality. It could be sanitation. It could be anything. Just identify that problem. And that's where the money comes in.
Okay. I want to break down your machine in bits.
Okay.
You have a skill. And your skill is, one, you know how to brand products.
Yes.
You know how to sell products. You know how to communicate very well. And you identified a supplier.
Okay.
That manufactures the product.
Yes.
Or imports the product.
Import the product, yeah.
Then you look for...
You look for people to buy.
Right. Okay. And then once you find the product plus the skill you have and the people to buy, what do you usually do first? Do you get the product first or you go to the people going to buy it first?
First, I did a prospect. That's okay. What I was saying is, it's difficult for a customer to change his supplier.
Okay.
So what I did first was to move to them, tell them I can give it to them at this price, which is lower. That bought their mind.
Okay.
And that time, I was actually not making profit, but I was thinking of a long term. I had a vision that I want to make them buy my brand. So I was actually not making loss. I was actually not making profit, but I was just breaking even in every product I sell. And on the marketing,
yep.
You see, everyone wants a brand that sells low. So let's say if this cap is being sold for 120 cedis in the market, then I come to you and tell you, I'll give it to 80 cedis. You buy mine.
Mm.
So that's how it started.
Do the customers care about the quality?
Yes, they do care since it's the same product.
Okay.
It's the same product, not imitation.
Right.
It's the same product. So it actually makes them fall in love with doing business with you.
Mm.
Yes.
So in the markets, is it all about pricing?
It's all about pricing.
Right.
It's all about pricing. But you know, why customers ditch other suppliers is other suppliers aim of making abnormal profit.
Okay.
But me, if it's my profit is 20 CDs on a pack and you are able to give me 5 CDs of that profit, I'll give the product to you.
Huh. But Kingsley, why can't the lady go straight to the wholesalers or the importers and buy the product? And
because the wholesaler, they do with volumes.
Okay.
They do with volumes. As I was saying, I have this supplier. And their policy is 800 boxes or a car will not move.
I see.
They deal with volume. So they can't buy the thing like in large quantities. We can buy. We can negotiate. So we bring them from Accra or we bring them from overseas. Then we bring it to them in bits.
Okay. So in my warehouse, I have 50,000 packs of toilet roll, for example. You come in and you buy half of those, right? So, you know, 25,000 packs. And then you take it to Koforidua Market. And then you take it to your people in maybe, you just, a shop may take one, right? Other
yes.
shop may take two.
Yes.
And that's how you sell it.
Yes, that's how I sell
So at the end of the month, you chase people for your money.
Oh, not maybe 2-3 days. There are some customers that actually will pay upright.
Okay.
Or there's because of that relationship I have with them.
Yep.
I can actually trust them with 15,000 worth of goods. There's a customer in Koforidua, Ma Gloria. I can give
Ma Gloria. You just mentioned their names.
Yes, Ma Gloria, 15,000. I can give Abyssel 20,000. And they will call you that, this is what I have.
And they will give you whatever money they have.
Yes.
And then next time when they sell, they give it to you.
Yes.
But look, the thing is, Kingsley, has your life, financial life actually improved since you started this?
Yes. It has actually improved. Because now, you doing business, you see money. Mr. Obidako always say this thing. Just have a cash flow.
Yeah.
Cash comes to your hand. Cash leaves. Cash comes to your hand. And it has changed.
You think life is better than when you were looking
life
for a job?
Life is better. Because my grandmother now, I'm supporting my grandmother with some money. for her provisions, for her health. But first, I had nothing.
So when you were looking for a job, how much pay were you expecting to get a month?
This question. You know, my first interview, I told them I need 2,500 cedis.
Okay. Okay.
2,500.
So your target was to make 2,500.
You know, it was not to make, but it got to a time I actually wanted to do something to get money. Because you, a young man out of university without any job, without nothing, at times it's frustrating. And I'm actually not that type that to do bad things to get money. I actually want to do I want to pass the good way.
Love it.
To make money. So even that's why I even accepted 1,000 CDs from my boss. Because at least me too, I also have a feel of 1,000 CDs in my hand.
Yeah.
That at the end of the month, I also have something to show that I'm working.
Yeah.
And it's better than someone giving you money.
Say it again. That's so profound.
Yes. You know, when you work and earn something, it is better than someone giving you that money for free. Because there's nothing like free in this world. So let's say if I'm not working and you call me that, I should take a car from here to Madina and deliver something to the station. You give me transportation. When I come, you give me 300 cedis. It's not free money. You actually paid me for what I did.
Mm.
And I actually didn't like that because if I was to stay home and do that, I have some people outside, my auntie will be giving me money. But it got to a time, I'm a man. I actually need to do something for myself than always picking phone to auntie. Things are no good. Can you send me some 300 CDs? Can you send me some 150? Can you send me some 500? And because I am not investing that money in any business, within a blink of an eye, that money will vanish.
It's gone. It's gone. Because you're just spending the money.
I'm just spending that money. So, you know, in this life, everyone has an opportunity to money.
Okay.
Everyone. But it takes away for someone to earn a profit on what he or she has. So let's say if I have 10 cedis,
yep,
and I'm able to increase the 10 cedis to 15 cedis, which means I've gotten a profit of 5 cedis. There are limited people that can do that. People see money in a way for them to spend. So this is 5 cedis, nothing. This is 20 cedis, nothing. But me, if you give me 500 cedis right now, I can let you come and pick two of my byproducts where you earn 40 CDs on that. Just 500 CDs. You can buy two of my products. You are going to earn 40 CDs on that product. So money itself is funny. You can get it today and tomorrow is gone. That's how I see it. And the moment you start seeing money is when you start investing that money into something lucrative, like a business, like investment. You just put that money into another business.
Hmm.
So that's how I see things now. And now, so far, so good. It's good.
A young man in search for a job, his idea was, you know, maybe I can earn
2,500.
How much are you comfortably paying yourself a month now?
I actually want to take my business to the next level. So I only pay myself 1,500.
Wow.
I only pay myself 1,500 a month. Because, you see, money, as I was saying, money is so funny. Let's say I make 50,000 a month. And because it's my money, I decide to spend 40,000. I am not actually helping the company to grow. I've actually sold myself to a standard that if my capital does not reach this line, I'm not even taking 5,000 of my money out.
Mm.
Yes.
Where did you get that knowledge from?
I actually learned it on ChatGPT. You see, I actually asked ChatGPT, why do businesses fail in Ghana? And he said, because they can't separate reinvestment account, buffer account, and personal account.
Yeah.
As a business person, you need to have three different accounts. You need to have an emergency account. In case you have a car and the car breaks down, you actually don't dip your hand into the capital, but you take it from the buffer account. And you also have, you should also have an account for reinvestment and have personal account. So that's where I got that. So look, if I'm to invest this money into this business for some time, it will get to a time, if I take 100 CDs, 100,000, I'll be okay.
Mm.
But as for now, I'm only paying myself 1,500.
I love it. You started this with a lot of skills, but zero investment.
Zero investment.
What has been your, the best month you've had in business?
My best month.
In terms of total revenue.
My best month is December.
Okay.
I sold goods worth of 400,000.
Wow.
In December. Actually, it was September. But December, because of the festive season, it peaked at December. So now 400,000 for December. And I started tracking my business. You know, at time when I started the business, I was actually not paying attention to my stocks, my spending. So in June this year, I started tracking my business. So from June to December, I sold goods worth of 1.5 million Ghana cedis. Goods worth. That's what I
That's
sold.
That's total revenue.
Total revenue, right. Total sales, yes. I have a feeling that January will supersede all.
That's good. That's good. Most people have said that. And the reason I'm doing this series is because I have a beautiful young audience. Some of them are in university. Some have just graduated. The young people, you know, that see me usually and they're like, you know, we love what you do. I want to give them value. I want to have more young people on in the seats, mm-hmm. speaking about their own experience.
Yeah.
Young people who have taken the path of growth and entrepreneurship, like yourself. So these people may not have capital, just like you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody may also have 1,000 cities, right? Take me through what you can do for someone who has 1,000 cities. What can they do with 1,000 cities?
Okay, what as a young entrepreneur, I also love to see young guys or young ladies to also do stuff for themselves. So I did last week, a man from, I'll even say a young guy from Agogo, drove to Koforidua. Nowadays, I actually join people's life on TikTok just to share experience about how businesses is done in Ghana. So the guy just told me my submission was good. He wants to come to see my place. I said, no problem. Anytime you are free, just come. So he came, I think, last week, and I opened my warehouse, and I was like, wow. Wow. So we sat down, and he actually brought 2,640. That bought 12 of my brand. And what I did to help him was I divided my profit into two so he can sell like I do.
Right.
Yes. I divided my profit into two so he can sell like I do. So if anyone also wants me to help, in regard of where you are, I can also help you build your own. Build your own to the extent that if you have capital, I can hold your hand and take you to where the company is so you can also buy from them.
Wow.
Because to me, life is not how we see it. You also need to help people. Because I was saying, as I was saying, Mr. Frimpong is my God now. It's my God on earth now in this world. So it's my dream to also help people also climb up.
So the 1,000 cities, what can the 1,000 cities do? Let me stop you here for a minute. So if it's your first time watching Connected Minds, or you have been here before but still have not subscribed, do us a favor. Because majority of the people that watch our videos have not subscribed. This doesn't help us grow beyond what we expect. So help us by hitting the subscribe button. Thank you. Now let's get back to the conversation.
1,000 cities can buy, in respect of what you want, 1,000 cities can get, let's say, 5 packs of my softener.
Okay. Great.
1,000 cities can get, let's say, 5 packs of my soups.
Okay. So you take 1,000 cities, it can buy 5 packs of a product that you have.
Yes, please.
And when they sell it, Usually, what is the margin per pack?
The margin since I'm dividing for them is 20 CDs per pack.
All right, so they're going to make 20 CDs
per pack.
Profit.
Yes, that's so they're making 10% of their money.
Right. Okay. This sounds good.
Yes.
And it depends on how much
and actually this 20 CD is for wholesale. But if they are to do retail, they actually will make 80 CDs
per
on
pack.
A pack on one.
Per pack?
Yes, per pack. They'll make 80 CDs per pack on one. Yes. So it's actually in their court to decide whether. But to me, I would advise them to do the retail because you are now starting.
Okay.
Yes, you are now starting. So you actually doing the retail. Actually help you. You see, there are so many problems in Ghana people can solve.
Hmm.
There's a problem in Koforidua, which I would like to use this platform to educate your viewers. See, Koforidua now has a sanitation issue because I heard where they do dump the refuse, that place is full, they can't dump. So someone can just buy this tricycle. Then drive it every morning to every house. Take their refuse. They'll give you 5 CDs. If you are to visit 100 houses in Koforidua, you see the money you are making. That's what I'm saying. Money is in Ghana, but the youth don't like this kind of work. They want to be in offices. Because the average youth cannot think in a sense, if he or she earns 800 a month, she's okay.
Hmm.
But that's sanitation business I'm talking about. If you are to get 5 CDs on 100 pack, it's actually a lot of money. Just a day. Just a day. If you are to do it a week, you are going to get another money. 3 weeks, 1 month, a year, 2 years. So... The cash that's in Ghana is in debt.
Okay. Kingsley, what are some of the challenges in what you're doing?
The challenges in what I'm doing is in the aspect of logistics.
Okay.
The demand is more than... Even though I can supply a lot, but my mode of transportation to get goods to the people is limited. Right now, I actually use Mr. Frimpong's truck. It's a pickup. And at times we could load it to a very low. So anytime we get to the bar, they just tell us, cut your coat according to your size. That's what they tell us. So one of my challenges I'm facing is logistics.
Okay.
And the second is warehouse. Because how I'm expanding, I actually need a very big warehouse. And also people are trying to charge little so they can get my customers.
I see.
Yes. People also do supply. They actually don't know where they do get their product. But, in marketing, people try to be smart. But by God's grace, I have some loyal customers. There was a time this woman, Malizim and Auntie Nana, they called me that, hey, some people have brought some of your brand, but we told them you are here, so we won't buy from them. We won't buy from them. So I just called to tell you. And to me, I say, God, this is just a miracle.
Awesome. Kingsley, thank you so much. You have already told me that you don't tend to read books. You just watch YouTube videos and also use ChatGPT.
And I normally watch Mr. Obendako.
Obendako, that's legend. It's a legend. I would have asked you to recommend a book, but one of my favorite questions, in fact, two. The first question I'll ask is the best advice you've ever received. What's the best advice you've ever got?
The best advice I've ever received is just be truthful. Don't spoil your reputation. Because that was from Mr. Frimpong. He said, it's because I have worked with them. That's why they brought the goods. So don't disappoint me. So that's the best advice. And also, my grandmother also advised me that tame down your ego and money will look for you. You see, at times we do take public transport. You see, the driver will be playing high music. Anytime you just prompt him to lower it, he gets angry. And the person will just say, stop, I just want to get down. That moment, you've lost money. So that's the bad advice. Tame down your ego and money for you. Follow you.
Amazing. With what you are doing, which one of these has helped you a lot, motivation or discipline?
I would say motivation.
I see.
Yes. Because it was not easy. It was not easy. Now, Eastern region, I have 180 customers. Some, I've not even seen them before.
I see.
Yes. And for, as I was saying, it's difficult for a customer to change their supplier. So out of the blue, within 1.5 years to gather 180 people, which means I was doing something exceptional. Foster a good relationship with them. As I was saying, I just go to their shops, help them to sell. This Christmas, I bought goods and supplied it to all of them.
Wow.
People I don't even know. I've never set my eyes on them. So the day I actually took the goods to Akwetia, that was the first time I saw some of my customers. That was the first time I saw them. So the journey was not easy.
Yes. But you are doing it. You are trying. Yes.
And I would say it's determination and resilience. Just listen. If you know where you are going, don't let something distract you. Don't let anything distract you. Just move towards your goal and you make it.
How about friends? You know, are they not trying to pull you back?
Oh, I wouldn't even give you the chance to pull me back. Because now, let's say I only have one friend, Frimid Baeben. He's actually a childhood friend. He is also in the picture industry. There's that frames and all that stuff. And he told me, now, if you call me, it's not about things that will make me someone in future. I won't mind you. So now I've just left some people behind. It's either you talk to me, you tell me I have this investment. If you can invest this, you'll put money in and restrict the profit. That's legit business, not any other fraud business or stuff. So friends, I'm actually not the type that friends. From my workplace to home, from home to market. Mostly, one funny thing is, I'm not actually at the office. Mostly, I'm in the market. I'm with my customers. So every day, I visit everyone in Goferedia. Every day. I try much as possible to visit all my customers. You see, I actually don't believe in doing business with your absence. If you own a business, you need to be there. Because being there and not being there is two different things.
Right.
There was a time I went to Akwetia to share a smart with my customers. So I told my sales girl to go around and take some money from my customers. They said they don't give it to her because I'm not there. And with money issues, A lot of marketing men, they have issues with money.
I see.
So in case I am outside or I'm someplace, and they told her if he has traveled, he will be back. So when he comes, you give him the money. And the following day, I went for the money.
Kingsley, thank you so much for your time. To my viewers and to my listeners, this was a very different conversation, but I hope it met your expectation, especially the young people that are looking for other opportunities to make money in the country. You can apply these same principles and concepts you've heard today in several other African countries. You know, find a product, find a supplier, and, you know, give it to them and add your markup. So I appreciate you. And if you made it to the end, I would like to know in the comments. I'm going to leave details of Kingsley in the description as well, so you know where to find him. I'm out. My name is Derek Abaite.